Welcome to How to Build a Tent, the How to Make You Successful podcast. My name is Matt Williams. Thank you for listening to the show. Not watching the show, we are doing an exclusive audio only, and I say exclusive because it just sounds better, but the truth is I am starting to pack up and move, and it takes like 40 days for furniture to get to the other side of the world, it turns out. So if you are planning to move 4,000, 5,000, 6,000 miles away, just heads up, it's going to take a long time. So we're going to be doing a lot of audio recording. I am going to have an interview tomorrow, Lord willing, and if that goes well, then we might have a video for that, because we are going to be doing a Skype interview. So we will have some video from time to time, but it's going to be a little different format because the office is getting shipped and sold. We're selling a lot of stuff, and we're going to have a brand new office and when we come back out with our video. So those of you who are watching / listening on YouTube or live stream, we'll still live stream it and we'll just put the logo out. So if you listen while you YouTube or you listen while you do your Facebook, that is still available for you. I officially pulled the trigger on buying a car on the East Coast, and it was a very interesting experience. And I have to say that I ended up going with the sales guy who gave me the best customer service. He was doing videos, he was, you know, working with me and helping me with pricing, he was showing me invoicing numbers, and it was such a contrast from the rest of the dealers and the people that I was working with. So a shout out for Henry in Georgia. You think, why are you buying a car in Georgia? Well, I'm buying a car in Georgia because I'm staying there for a little bit, and to save money from flying to Florida and all the bags we're going to be carrying and having a rental car while I'm in Georgia and then having a rental car when I'm in Florida, I just decided to buy the car in Georgia and drive it down to save money because I'm that cheap. Anyways, just want to give a shout out, and I wanted to bring that up as well, not just to give the shout out, but also just to like reiterate how important it is to have great customer service. There were times when I was telling Henry that I was just not going with him. I was going to pull the trigger on another car altogether. It's actually a truck. I'm buying an F-150. I love those cars. I'm a Ford man for life. Don't hate on me, Chevy drivers. And I told him like one or two times that like I was going to go with something else. We were actually looking at an Explorer at first, but now Ford right now has their 0% 72 months 0% financing. So that was a big scale tipper to make me want to go. But this isn't about a Ford. This isn't a Ford commercial. They're not paying for ad time. I just want you to really understand, like, even when it seems like you're not going to get the sale, to continue to provide customer service, to continue to provide a positive experience with the people that you're talking with. And you never know when it's going to come back around. You never know when another need that you can help address is going to materialize, and you just don't want to burn those bridges. If you haven't heard, I have a poll right now on Facebook, and if you don't know where I am at Facebook, you can go How to Build a Tent. You can email me, matt@howtobuildatent.com. I usually say that in the very beginning of the show, but I wanted to get that little car customer service story out there. If you want to give me a follow, I'd really appreciate that. If you want to message me, reach out to me, you can find me on the social media sites, including Minds, which has been a really positive experience so far. Thank you again, Marcus, for that. You can email me, matt@howtobuildatent.com. But one of the things I wanted to bring up is I do have a poll right now where I am surveying the people that listen to this show to see if they would be interested in a subscription service to help keep the show going, to help support it, and to give you some benefits. There's going to be a special discount rate for those that are Fight Laugh Feast members, because we are part of the Fight Laugh Feast Network. If you have not gone over to the Fight Laugh Feast .com website, then go over there, become a member, help support us, and you'll get special discounts on the membership that I'm going to be rolling out as well. Put in HTBT in the memo field, you'll get a free mug. I just sent out a few last couple days, and yeah, so that's really exciting. I love sending out those mugs. So on the our membership, I have had a lot of people ask me about what stocks I buy and just that kind of thing. So I'll let you see my portfolio and you can track to see how well I'm doing. I'm exposing myself. And so you'll see the stocks I'm in, the options I have, and the percentage from day to day. I'll update it every day. And there's going to be a lot of other benefits as well. I'm going to have a list of people that I've worked with that I trust for different areas of business, legal, marketing, and all that. So I'm going to have, and then hopefully they'll be able to give you discounts. I haven't really worked out all the details yet. But basically, this isn't going to be another subscription that's going to have a ton of more content. And it's like, I have so much content, I can't consume it all in one day. But this is going to be specifically tools and tips and blogs and things like that that are going to help you be successful. I have some people that are asking me for different types of podcasts, some other kinds of podcasts. I might do that and just have it tested out and be exclusive just to members. But for the most part, I want to keep this as something that are tools more than just more content to throw at you, because I know you already have tons of content on the Fight Life Feast Network and other places. You don't need more podcasts. But be thinking about that. Be anxious. Get ready for that. That will be coming out soon. Website is still being finished up. But if you want to check it out, see where we're at with that, I think it's public. Go to howtobuildatent.com. All right, so in the news, I thought this was a very fascinating article. Russian oil sales to U.S. on steroids, and then quoted, amid Venezuela sanctions. Then the first question that I was thinking to myself is, why would we be importing oil and exporting oil at the same time? Why would we be sending oil to other countries that is drilled for in our country, but then be buying it from other countries? That is a very strange thing. And the truth of the matter is, it's because it makes economic sense. It is cheaper for us to import oil than to use our own oil for one particular reason in general. But I want to kind of talk about this some more. Now, how is that even possible that oil is cheaper to import than to just use what we have spent on our own? Well, there could be a number of reasons why, and there's one real reason why. But before we get into that, I just want us to think about that for a second, because I know most of us are not in the oil industry. I actually haven't heard of any listeners from the oil industry. So if you are in the oil industry, give me a shout out. Let me know you're there. But there could be a number of reasons, but of why they could do this. And it might not be necessarily applicable or you're not in the oil industry, but it is applicable in a greater sense to just kind of understand how trade really works. Sometimes it's beneficial for a company to, or a country, I guess let's just keep it at a very high macro level, a country, to export a product to another country because maybe they can sell their type of oil for more money than they could in the United States. And maybe a same company that processes the oil and refines the oil can do it more efficiently with oil from other parts of the country. And there is the real reason why this happens, is why are we exporting and importing at the same time? It's because not all oil is equal. And in fact, a lot of our refineries are not tooled up. And I don't know the exact terminology, forgive me, those of you that are in the oil industry, but they're not set up to be able to refine the oils that we have in this country. And so there's a cost equation. And the cost equation isn't simply how much does it cost per barrel to buy oil from the United States and then also import it from other countries, but also how much does it cost to switch your refinery to be able to refine at a better quality or a better financial rate the oil that we're drilling ourselves. And that is what decisions that these companies are making. And they have decided that it is cheaper for those who can export oil to sell it, or it's more, I shouldn't say it's cheaper, it is better profit for them. They get better margins exporting oil from here to other countries. And those who are refining the oil find it that they have better margins. They don't have as much cost. They're changing tooling, changing the refinery settings to import oil to our country. And that is applicable because that isn't just specific to oil all the times. A lot, you can find these opportunities in any industry you're in. So don't just think that your market, your best market, is going to be domestic. It might be foreign, and vice versa. Your best products might not be made in the United States. They might be made in another country. Definitely not China, because now China has 25% tariffs on everything. It's going to be pretty much cheaper to do business anywhere else. And by the way, I wasn't planning on talking about this, but it was just announced that Google is going to be discontinuing their Android service to Huawei, and that made our stocks dip yesterday. That's no fun, but again, I think that's an emotional play. Unless you own stock in Huawei, I think we're going to be okay, and it's just going to be a bounce back. It's going to be a very turbulent time until this trade deal gets resolved. And I think somebody, who was it? Oh, it's the PIMCO, the CEO, the managing, I don't know what he's called, but the guy who runs PIMCO, he's the PIMCO manages bonds, is like one of the biggest bond management companies in the world. And he was giving odds of like Trump coming up with a deal with the Chinese and making it a status quo. And that's kind of like the most odds on that happening. And then there is having a Reagan-esque moment, which I thought was very interesting, is another one that has less odds, but is second place. And then third, that this trade war just escalates. And he was handicapping them and basically saying it's best chance to just to have the status quo continue. But then he also said that the other two options, two and three, that Trump will redefine how the global markets work. That is his Reagan-esque comment. And that's getting to be more and more chance. And then also at the same time that this trade war continues to go on, which will be impactful and could. And some people are saying we'll send the global economy into a recession, but America will be the strongest economy. It continues to be the strongest economy. And I mean, we will be impacted. It will hurt us, but it won't hurt us as much as other countries. So that's kind of what the word is on that. So enough about that bad news. We should let's talk about some more good news. And the economic expansion is poised to become the longest in U.S. history, the leading indicators show. A survey of U.S. economic conditions rose for the third straight month in April, touching 112.1. The current expansion will enter its 11th year in July. It's been a very weird cycle, and no doubt it's because a lot of what action was done in 2008. The Conference Board expects economic growth to moderate towards 2% by year end, which is really good news because it seems like we have some leverage to play, like we were talking about with the Chinese trade war, and also that the economy is still going to continue to grow, even at 2% by year end. And I've said this before, and I'm sure you've heard it if you've been a listener to the show, that that was supposed to be the new normal, and it turns out it wasn't, and our economy has been growing a lot faster, which is awesome for us, and that's why wages have been starting to go up. That's why we have more jobs available than workers, and that is why our portfolios are doing well. So a lot of good news there as well. And then following with that, the U.S. economic policymakers at the Federal Reserve have changed their view on how low unemployment can get without sparking inflation. And this is an interesting one because for the longest time, we thought that unemployment was going to be in the 4%, but it's actually been at 3.6%. And the running theory has been that inflation will start getting out of control with really low unemployment rates because everyone has a job. And there is a lot of demand for supplies, and there's too much demand for the supply, and that so prices will go up, and that means inflation will go up. But we haven't been seeing inflation in a lot of ways. Now, we have seen inflation that is cost going up because of government intervention. It's funny, I've showed you that chart before where there's a line between what is increased in cost and what is decreased in cost. And almost every single thing that has increased in cost has been because the federal government has subsidized it in some way. And that's kind of different from this inflation discussion, although you'd be like, oh, those prices are important, then those prices are going up, that's inflation. Well, it's not really what I think the feds have in mind here. But anyway, so they're deciding that the new normal is not 4.7, but 4.3%. Even though right now it's at 3.6%, which is very fascinating. And it'll be interesting to see if inflation ever does come back in any meaningful way with the globalization that has happened. If you remember, inflation hasn't been that bad since the 80s when Reagan basically turned around the whole economy and changed the world, like we said earlier. But we haven't had inflation like that since the Carter era. So it'll be really interesting to see if that inflation ever comes back in a meaningful way. A lot of economists say we should have some inflation. That deflation, where our dollar gets more and more powerful, is a bad thing because it discourages investment today. If your dollar can buy more tomorrow, why would you buy it today? You'd wait till tomorrow. And that's the philosophy of why people think deflation is a bad thing. But I thought that was a really good story. And the last story I wanted to hit today, which is for the real estate industry, and therefore for pretty much anybody who is ever wanting to buy a house or thinking to buy a house. And Trump is saying that he's looking at alternatives to Fannie and Freddie. If you noticed that they're like a conservative ship, they're really technically, like, if you wanted to say something was like socialized or like an industry that's truly socialism, I mean, this would definitely be two companies that are examples of that. They are under the conservatorship of the government, and he is asking people from the Treasury and HUD to look at alternative frameworks. And now this is really interesting because this has a lot to, these companies have a lot to do with who gets loans and what qualifications that they need, because they're the ones who are packaging the loans, and they have a lot of say in the real estate industry. And that will be definitely something that has significant impact to the housing market, which could be, you know, your asset. If that is your biggest asset that you have, that who knows what that is going to look like. So keep a heads up for that. Especially if you're in the real estate industry, but also if you're looking to buy a home, that should be something that you keep an eye on as well. All right, so those are the stories of the day that I thought were interesting. Hopefully they will be applicable to you and that you'll be able to utilize them in your business, in your career, as you are making decisions, thinking strategically, determining what kinds of companies that you might want to start. Hey, maybe you think there is a competitive advantage to build an oil factory because you can tool up for the first time for crude domestically and have an advantage over those other oil companies that have to import, and maybe you can do it at a better cost. I think those are the things, those are the ways, those are the thoughts that I want you to have with these stories. It's not just taking the story at face value, but thinking about how you can use this information to turn it into income, to turning it into growing your wealth. Because like what Marcus and I have both said, we need more Christians with money to fund more Christian ventures, to have more of a political influence in our politics, to be able to invest and to help artists and other cultural influences to make a positive impact. We need to have a mind shift. We need to have a mind shift of success and not just taking things at face value, but like taking deeper looks into what is going on in the world so that we can be successful. Now let's go out and be successful. God bless.